Here we are, the first Sunday of the month. And it is this Sunday which has been laid down by the church. There are different ideas of the church, different denominations on what should be done with the Lord's Supper. How often should it be taken? Some churches moved that it should be taken every Lord's Day. Some churches only two or three times a year. And some maybe only once a year. But the Apostle Paul tells us, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And that's the main thing that we should come to when we think about the Lord's Supper. We're doing it in remembrance of him. It is he who is brought to our minds even more clearer than all the days of the week and all the days of the month also. Even in the days that we worship and all we hear as far as preaching of his word and in our own private lives as we would read the Bible and we would come to our prayer time and living our days every day with him. This day and this particular what he's given us, this Lord's Supper, is to make us to even think more of him. Now the words that we find in the scriptures when it says, Christ says, do this in remembrance of me. He uses a word there, and I think the operative word is remembrance. What does this word mean? And what does Jesus want us to know and understand when he say, in remembrance of me? Well, if we use the word as far as in our lives, we find out that we can do that. Sometimes we look back in the past and we have the remembrance of something that has taken place. We look back, and maybe sometimes you have done this. Maybe you have some photos of family members. And you look at those photos and you think about the person or those people there. And it brings a wonderful smile to your face. It brings a memory of what that person or those people were to you. And that's it. But they're still in the past. And yeah, you see that as the past and you look at that as the past. But another way we can do this, we can do this in remembrance of someone. And as we see this one, there was something that happened so powerfully in the past that that very thing comes up and it still has an effect upon us right now in the future. Right now in the present, we know. And as we look at that particular picture or bring up that remembrance, we have a more joy in our heart. We are reminded what he or she or what they have been to us. And we still have the effects upon that. It could be something that had taken place. Maybe there was something that took place as far as sickness or whatever, or anything of that matter, and what that person did. And because of who we are right now, we can say it was because of what that person, that friend, that family member, it was because of what they did that I am who I am right now. When Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, I believe that's what he wants us to do. Not to look just past at the past at the cross and what took place there. Yes, we ought to see that and understand that because we knew what took place there. But does Jesus want us to look in the past and see him only in the past? I believe not. I believe he wants us, when he says, do this in remembrance of me, take him right now. Who and what is he to us in the present right now? Who is he on our hearts and minds? What has he done for you and me? And what is it that make us think about the Lord Jesus Christ even right now? This is what I believe the Lord want us to do. Not just look back at, which is right, the cross and his death upon the cross and buried in a tomb and raised from the dead and now is heaven. That's right. That is history. That really took place. But do we have a Savior that only exists in his marvelous nature and what he's done in the past act for us? Or is this something we see now in the future, what is really going on inside us right now? And I believe this is what we ought to do. And as we think of the Lord's Supper today, I believe even Colossians chapter 2, where we have been going through in the last couple of weeks, we can see that we should do that. Notice again, as we look at verse 15 in Colossians chapter 2, we find that Paul the Apostle, he tells us something here, is that what we ought to see. And we've looked at this, and I don't have to go in great detail over it, but there is something we ought to take in mind. I want you to bring to mind right now. He says in verse 15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Now, you know the picture that I gave to you, and I said this is the picture that most of the apostles, or I should say the commentators, see in this. This is Christ's victory, and he points to that victory that Christ has done. We know from even the beginning of the Bible what the devil did, and there in the garden, what came forth from that. A great number of the holy angels sided with Satan, and they were cast out of heaven. And so what they did, they just infiltrated as much as they could the man, God's own creation, made in the image and likeness of God. And so this whole host of wickedness and these authorities and rulers, they did all they can and still are doing all they can to destroy man. That's all they want. They want to destroy what man has done. And so we saw in Jesus' death that, first of all, we know Jesus came to die for his people. He came for us. He came that he may give life to us. And in order to do that, he had to take upon himself our very sins, the wickedness and all that we have lived and what we have done. Yes, every person is not at the same level of wickedness, but we all know we were hell-deserving sinners. And so he had to take upon himself the very what we would deserve. That's what God would pour upon us, each and every one of us, needed to die an eternal death in hell. But Jesus took that upon himself. And here, Apostle Paul tells us that when he was on the cross, and then when he went into the grave, and he came out of that grave, he basically, what he did, he came as a mighty warrior. He led all those horrible, wicked, fallen angels, and Satan with them, he led them as captive. And he destroyed their power. And as we saw this, they have no power over us either. And so I believe when we look back at the Supper of Remembrance, Jesus Christ, I think we should see more than what he did and he died for us, but what did he do for us in our hearts right now? Where are you this morning? What do you really sense in your life about Jesus Christ? Is he in you? Is he near to you? Are you living because of your attachment to him? Do you live each day and say, I'm going to live to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? He took upon himself my sins. He went to the cross for me. He died for me. Now I am supposed to live for him. And this is what we do when we come to the Lord's table. We look back and we're saying, am I living for Christ Jesus? I think that's the real question for each and every one of us today, this morning. Are we really, really living for him, or are we living for self? Remember, the whole idea of our sins and what it did is that we want everything for ourselves. We want to live a life that is so pleasing to us. And that's what we are. We like that. And even though sin has been, that ruling sin has been broken and sin remains, but it doesn't reign, yet we still, in our own body, we have to fight that remaining sin, which causes us and tells us to live to the glory of yourself. Forget about God. Or maybe sometimes he may whisper to us, you know, like, you know, it ain't so bad, this little sin. But no, we find as you read the Bible, the smallest sin is so bad. And this is what we find in the New Testament is telling us time and time again how we must live as Christians now. Not as just religious people, religious men, women, boys, girls, but Christians. We are out, taken out of this world. And not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. It is not this world that is now binding upon us, telling us what to do and how to live. It is we are in the kingdom of God, and that's the way we live. So with this triumphant entering, if we could say, into heaven, as it were, spoiling principalities and powers, that's what Jesus did. But there's something else he did. He gave you and I the victory, you and me, the victory over all things. So we don't have to say yes to sin. We can say no to sin. And it is all because of what we have here today. But there's another thing now, as I indicated, that we can look back in the past. And what is it that makes us think about Christ today? Is it that he died for me, or is it that he is in me? Dear people, that is a real thought that you and I should have. He is in me. The scriptures tell us clearly that this is what it's all about. This is what has happened to us. We are not just religious people who have been given and shown some new way to live, a new philosophy to live by. Do these few things and you know what? You'll be an all right person. And you will fit in a category of being called a Christian. No, that's not what it is for us. No amount of philosophy or ideas in our mind could not change us from being hell-deserving sinners to those who could be brought into the presence of God. Nothing could do that. Nothing whatsoever. And that's why the scripture says you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And therefore, no life, no spiritual life is there. Was not in us in the beginning. And something had to happen. And we know it was Jesus Christ who died in our place. But more than that, Jesus tells us, and it's clear, that we even gain the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So for Paul says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them. But there is another public display I like to think about. And that is, as Jesus Christ proved that all those who were his enemies, he came and showed that he was the victor over all of them. None of them have any power whatsoever. But what did he also we see? All heaven saw this mass of men and women, boys and girls, who were brought to newness of life. And those who Jesus brought in, who they were destroyed now by his power, look at those who were raised up by his power. And that are those who he died for, all who had come in. So you see, it is more to us than the fact that we have Christianity in our mind, in some areas, in our hearts, in an emotional way, but we have Christianity in our lives. We are new people in Christ Jesus. We have the Spirit in us. And this is the very thing that we need to understand. When we say, and when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, there's some things we ought to remember. We ought to remember who we are. Sometimes that takes back and looking back and say, remember who we were, first of all. And I think what we need to do is see what the Lord Jesus Christ says about this. He says, this is the very thing that you and I must understand. And John's gospel, John told us Christ's words was that you have been connected to me. You are tied to me. This is what Jesus is saying. You're not walking in the world as men and women who have some idea of Jesus Christ. You are connected to Jesus Christ. And he says, your life as a Christian will be seen and shown forth how you are connected to me. Turn with me to John chapter 15 and notice how he states this so clearly. He says, here's what you and I have to understand. And it's not that I have to do a deep exposition of this passage, but you know it already. But just as a reminder, because what we're doing as we come to the Lord's table, we want to remind ourselves what he has done for us. And we must remind ourselves who we are right now. Jesus says in verse 1 of John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Then he goes on, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Jesus is saying here, now we have to take and understand what he's saying here. Jesus is not saying here there's some people that is in him, truly in him, and they're going to be taken away. But Jesus is saying, as you come to the Christian faith, you come to the scriptures and you're reading this, people will say, I'm connected to Christ. But they may not be connected to Christ. But he's saying, those will, you will know them by their fruit. And if they're not connected with Christ, he says, God himself, who is the vine dresser, who is the one who tends to the vine, and he's clipping off those particular branches of which are no good, he will cut them out, is what he's saying. And so it's not that you could be a real Christian and be connected to the vine and yet be cut away. No, he's not saying that. He's saying there's some that say they are connected, but really they're not connected. He goes on. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it will bear more fruit. And he goes on, 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And then he says in verse 4, and I think this is where you and I have to think in our own minds, what are we doing right now? He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. But there's a relationship Jesus is speaking about right here. And this relationship is a connection between me, you as believers, and Christ Jesus. We are connected to him. We abide. We live in him. We find our home. We remain in the Lord Jesus Christ, is what he's saying. And that's where we are. Then he goes on. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I like the way Jesus says here, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. Sometimes Christianity is pointed as you have to make sure you take hold of Christ and hold tight to him. But Christ is telling us also in true biblical Christianity, I am in you also. And you are flourishing. You are going on in the life of Christianity because of me being in you. And this is a very important point we need to understand. He goes on, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But he says in 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So Jesus says in verse 7, there's even more that you come. The abiding in him is actually seeing and understanding his word, what we have in the Bible. He said, if my word abides in you, that's the very thing you and I have to see and understand. We live in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lives in us also. So this very idea of who we are as Christians, it is speaking of our very relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just coming to church on Sunday. It is not just reading a few words here or there and even going deeply into studying the Bible. It is not just that. If there's no Christ in us, there's no salvation in us. And Christ says, this is the very thing. He says, this is what I'm all about. Remember now, he's telling his disciples what they are to him, what he has done, what his whole life is to them. And this is the very thing. Abide in me and I in you. Well, you may ask yourself, how do we do that, abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ? I use the very introduction that I have, you know, as we look back, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We look back on the cross, we see it in the scriptures that come out to us, and it tells us that he died. And we look back at that death, the brutal death that took place of Jesus. It is said, as far as history is concerned, no man was treated the way he was treated. He was the most mal-treated man in human history. Now, that's what it said. I don't know if that's the case or not. But we know it was a horrible thing that he went through. Horrible death that he had to go through. And we can look back at that and we can feel the sorrow in our hearts. Some people can feel sorry for somebody who goes through some pain and suffering that you're not even connected to. It may even shed tears for that person. And so therefore, that only comes out of the emotion of who we are. But Christ is saying it's more than that. It's who you are in attachment to me. Have you ever, even in a sense, thought about all that Christ went through on that cross? And he did it not for himself. He did it for me. Have you ever brought that scene on Golgotha's hill, that cross there, Calvary, where all of this was because of me? Because of my sins, because of who I am. And not because I was so bad and he had to do that, but because he loved me so much. And the only way you and I could be changed is that he had to die at our place. He took upon himself all our sins and he took it to the tree. And there, God the Father poured out the wrath upon his Son, which is the wrath that you and each and every one of us deserve ourselves right now. He did that. He poured it out on him. But God, he says, and Christ Jesus, he said, you are mine now. You are connected to me. And Jesus is telling us our whole life now is a different life because we are connected to him. If you flip back the page to John chapter 14 and notice the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he promises. Remember now, at this point in the life of the apostles, he's getting them ready for what is about to come. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave you. He has taught them about three times, at three different occasions, that I'm going to be captured. I'm going to be taken into Jerusalem, and I'm going to die there. But he says, and he lets them know, but you don't have to worry, because knowing that this is a hard thing for you to see and understand, but you're going to have help. Don't worry about that. Notice in John 14, and he says in verse 16, look at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus says, the commandments I've given you, and he gave the commandments. We can read through the New Testament. We know those commandments come from the Old Testament, but Jesus has given us truth of those commandments as he gave them to us in his heaven. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He said, there's no such thing of what Jesus said. We will say, no, I can't do that. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. And notice what he says going on from verse 16. He says, notice what he does. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Isn't that a wonderful truth? I'm going to give you a helper and he's going to be with you forever. He's never going to leave you. You see, this is not a kind of salvation. This is not a kind of Christianity where you chose to be a Christian and that was it. No, this is the kind of Christianity that only comes through the Bible. The truth of it is God has done this. He will be with you forever. Then he says who this is. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. Right now, today, you tell people about the Holy Spirit. They think you're crazy. This is just some man's theology, man's philosophy. It falls right there in the same category with all other religions. There's nothing there. How can you be a Holy Spirit, something real that comes into you, enters you, and now helps you, controls your whole life, and gives you everything you need? Teach you everything that Christ said? Come on, I don't have time for that stuff. But this is what Jesus says. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They cannot hear. Brethren, no matter how many times we tell the lost man, woman, boy, or girl about the Holy Spirit, they never believe it. Because it does not see him or know him. And that's why. These people who you try to tell about the truth of salvation and the Holy Spirit, they can't see him, they don't know him, so they don't believe he exists. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Let us please, please, don't miss what the Bible says when it constantly tells us, in you. Again, we looked at this briefly. He's not talking about our emotions. He's not talking about our ideas in our mind. He's talking about another being. And that is a spiritual being that which have taken up residence inside us. He's in you. Now, if this is not what Christ is saying, he's duping all of us. He's in you. And he goes on. After a little while, the world will no longer see me. Now remember, Christ is talking to his disciples. He says, here I am. I'm walking with you. And the people see me. I'm walking in there. I walk in Jerusalem. And they see me. Crowds come around me. Even all the echelon of the faith of the Hebrews, they know about you. And all those who they see me, they know me. He say, after a little while, the world will no longer see me. What is he referring to? We know it's a death. He's going to leave. He's going to be off the earth, no longer on the earth. They will not see him. I won't be here. But you will see me. And he makes it clear how that will take place. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The Lord Jesus is making us to see and understand something. An event will take place, and that event will take me away from you in the physical way we see each other in. But that event is not going to really take me away from you. Because when that event goes and all ends on that event, I'm going to be in you. You see, dear people, what I've been saying and what I believe in all my heart and mind is that Christ is in you. You are a true man, woman of God. Christ lives in you. Christ is now guiding us in everything. And so this, like, just like I said in the beginning, if you come to the point and you look at your album of something, a picture album, and you see something that happened in the past there, and your remembrance go back to the past, and that's where it stays, because basically that's when that particular thing happened or what that person was. But if it's something in the past, you looked at it and it has an effect upon you right now, you keep that very solemn, that wonderful idea, that wonderful thing that took place there. Christ is saying this. Yes, I went to the cross. I died for my people. But you know something? I am not dead. And you know it because I'm in you. Right in your heart. Right here. Now, we can't understand this. It's beyond our understanding, because we always speak about God, Christ being in the right hand of the Father in heaven right now. But that doesn't mean that Christ is not filling the whole world with his presence at the same time. This is God. This is not some human being. This is the Almighty God. And so he's in every true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every born again Christian has Christ in him. And brother, I believe that we come to the Lord's table and we say, this is his body. This is the blood. We don't have to move back to that experience up there in the upper room. We can actually have the whole experience with us right now. And that's what we want. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants each and every one of us to do. Let us think about who we are right now. Think about where Christ is right now. Well, you know, we're told clearly in the Word of God that when we pray to God, we don't have to pray and hope he gets our message coming up from here where we are all the way up to heaven, because God fills space and everything. Jesus Christ, he is the second person of the Godhead. He fills space also. But Jesus say he even fills our hearts. He's with us. All our thoughts and everything that we do and everything that we would do to the glory of God, it is Christ in us helping us to do it. And when we don't do it, we're fighting against him who is guiding us and telling us to do things the right way. And you wonder why the scriptures tell us that after this, we still have to have Christ guiding us by his word, or we will, as it were, go off the rails. But this is what we ought to see. He is in us. He says in verse 20, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That day is the day when he would die and be raised from the dead, and all would know. And he says in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. Jesus Christ is saying, he makes himself known to us. So, dear people, in the taking of the elements, we're not remembering a Christ in the past. We're setting our hearts and minds on a Christ right now. of Christ is because the reason why you and I can stand and have all our trust in Him is because of what He did. And this very elements laid out here is shown us He truly did die. But He said, take, eat, this is my body. This is my blood. And it is a symbol of us taking Christ into our souls. It reminds us what really has taken place. And as most of the old commentators and all the church have said, when we take this, we're not taking no special grace in our hearts by these things. But what is gone is that it reminds us, it brings back up to us again what has been done for us. And it reminds us again, just as real as a piece of bread, just as real as the juice we drink, that's how real Christ is in us right now. That's what it is, dear people. And if we really set our hearts on it this way, I believe we will even be showing to our Lord Jesus Christ even what He says. And we will be doing what He tells us to do. Do this in remembrance of me. Is He in your heart right now? Answer that question to yourself. Is He truly in your heart? Does He have true and complete control over you right now? Does He have all control? Or is there some little area that you leave that you don't want Him to have control of? No, if it is, when you come to the table as a Christian, you need to take that little area and throw it away. Say, no, no longer will I hold this to myself. I give it all to Christ. See, that's the other thing about this. When we do this, we are what we're doing. We're making a new confession of who He is, what He's done for us. And so when we come to the Lord's table, we are saying the very bread and the very cup represents His body that was put to death for me. And you, each and every one of us, have to say that for me. Not a thing done for the church, for me. And may we take ourselves and, as it were, and present ourselves right in the presence of Christ when we do this and say, here I am, Lord, right before You. And as I do this, I'm doing this to the glory of You, my God and my Savior, because of what You have done for me. Let us pray. Oh, blessed God in heaven, we do thank You for Your kindness and Your mercy. We thank Thee, O Lord, for all that You've done, how You've blessed Your people. We thank Thee, O Father, what we know and understand at this point, something that we could not have done ourselves because of what You have done. You, the One who has given us what we have, this new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us can confess, O God, we were hell-deserving sinners. We had nothing that we could bring to You that You could look at and say, pretty good, You can enter into my heaven. No, You would push all of us. You would cast us aside. But what He has done for us, You bring us in. Not only are we now those who will be recipients of Your grace, and we be with You for all eternity, but Lord, we have our Savior in us. He lives with us every hour of the day, every day of the week, every moment of the day. He's in us. And Lord, You know all about us. So as we come, we pray, help us by Your Spirit, Jesus. That Spirit You said that You would send to us, and He would be in us, and He would guide us into all truth. Have Him help us as we come to this phase of our worship service this morning, that we would do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear and answer our prayer. In Jesus' name.